Well, I guess it seems like this all started back in my youth. I tell you, I tried to be involved in everything in school, be one of the top this, that, everything. Then in my adulthood, when I had kids, then I was driving them everywhere. And of course, I was field trip mom. Anything that had to be done, I was right there, had to do it. Just loved to do it. Now in this stage of my life, me and grandma, I'm doing grandparent activities. I also have, oh my gosh, what do I have? I have Work Women Wine Wednesdays, a lot of fun. I also have Euchre Club and pottery class, you name it. I'm just active in everything. But you know, I sometimes stop and think, but isn't there something more? Okay, off to soccer, buddy.
We have a tendency to be busy, tendency to do. And as we roll out this morning, here's where we're going. We're going to talk about busy, what that means, see if we can identify with a few things. Then we're going to talk about being bored and how those two things that seem contradictory actually in our Christian lives kind of fit. And then where we go. Where we go and with what confidence with which we go forward. Busy, let's define that word for a second. Let's define busy. So I looked it up and here's what it says. Busy is having a great deal to do. Pretty short and sweet. I think pretty much everybody can identify with that, right? Being busy is having a great deal to do. Here's what the definition of bored is: feeling weary because one is unoccupied or lacks interest in one's current activity. So can one be busy and bored at the same time? Well, let's start with a little bit of a story. As I said, my name is Michael. I'm a member here at Promise with my family. We just absolutely love it here. And my wife, Lauren, and I have three boys, two of which are in school. Fourth grade and third grade. And maybe you've had this conversation before. Jeremiah and Isaiah come home from school, and I come home from work, and I say, "How was school?" And they say, "Fine." "It was good." "Fine." "It was all right." Okay. And then I say, "Well, what'd you do?" "Nothing." Like, wait a minute. You were there for 8 hours. 8 hours, and it was fine and good, and you did absolutely nothing? Come on. Come on. Well, here's what I think they meant. And here's what I think when they say those things, what they mean. Basically, they're saying this: I've learned the routine I need to do to get through the day, but I've not been brought to enough engagement to either remember or be excited about anything that actually happened today. That's what I think they're saying to me. And you know what? I'm guilty of that too. I'll come home and my beautiful wife say, "Hey, how'd it go today?" "Oh, good, good. What'd you do?" "Ah, no, just busy all day." "Really? That's it?" And it really doesn't matter what stage of life you're in, right? It really doesn't matter. Kids out there, I get the pleasure and blessing of being involved in a high school every day. You're busy people. In the morning, most of them around 8 o'clock, they come in and kind of shuffle in the morning. And through the day, and they've got classes, and then they've got after-school activities, and then they go to practice or games, and then homework, and they're busy people. Adults, young adults, not-so-young adults, right? We got work, and we plan our day, and then we got the kids at night, and then all these other things. And you know, I would say, even if you're retired, at least my experience with many retired people, they're not sitting around doing a whole lot of nothing. My parents are retired. My dad will be 74 in November. My mom's coming up on 70, and I have the hardest time getting on their social calendar. The hardest time. And when I go and visit them, I say, "What are you guys up to?" And man, there is a laundry list of things that they're doing. And they're busy people. Busy people. And you know, I kind of think about it and I say, well, Why do we cling to busyness so much? You know, as we greet each other, as you talk to people throughout the week, you know, it's almost a little bit of a badge of honor, isn't it? At least for me, sometimes I get that way. But hey, Mike, how you doing? Good, real busy. Oh, that's good. It's almost like my importance in life is directly related to how busy I am. That I better have that answer to say I'm busy doing something so that I feel important. And even a step further, not only so that I feel important, but that the person I'm talking to understands that I'm important or that I have things going on. Man. And you know, for me in my life, I'm head of school at Concordia Lutheran High School, and for me at my life, this is where the devil tries to gain a stronghold in my life, and I know that. I know that. About a month ago or so, when Pastor Grav asked me to do this message, he said, "Hey, Michael, would you mind, I'm going to be out of town, would you mind doing the message?" And I said, "Oh, okay, what's the topic?" And with this twinkle in his eye, he said, "Busy and bored." And I wasn't quite sure how to take that, because I think he looked at me and he said, "Boy, you know what this is all about, don't you?" And he's right. And he's right. And how often do we equate our importance in life, even more so maybe our identity in life, with how busy we are, how much we have to do? In Luke chapter 10, you might know the story, Mary and Martha, right? Mary and Martha. And Jesus comes to the home, and Mary does what? Mary sits herself at the feet of Jesus. And everybody cheered, right? Way to go. Way to go. And Martha makes herself busy. She's doing things around the house. And at a certain point, Martha gets frustrated, right? Because she's busy doing things, and Mary is doing nothing, at least in her eyes. And so she's frustrated. She says something to Jesus, and his response is, "Few things are needed. Indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." It will not be taken from her. So in the busyness of life, and I'll speak from my own personal experience, and maybe you can relate, in the busyness of life, we get doing things. You ever had the experience where someone asks you to do something and you have the hardest time saying what? No. Good, you're with me. I'm not the only one. You have the hardest time saying no. And I think that sometimes we have a hard time saying no because we want that other person to think and believe that I've got it all together and I can fit that thing in my schedule and I can do it and I come through for you. So one of the things that I know I struggle with is I don't like to disappoint people. I really don't. And so when people ask me to do stuff, I try everything I can. So, yeah, I can do that. And part of it is because I really want to help them. And part of it is because I want them to believe I've got it all together and I can fit it in and I can do a good job. And have you ever had this experience? Immediately when you say yes, you have that feeling like, oh, man, why did I just say yes to that? I know that I'm either going to be fighting hard to try to fit it in, or I'm really not going to be able to do it well. And for me, I really now have to go home and tell my beautiful wife I've just agreed to something else. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? Why do we press and press and press? And I think it goes back to, again, our level of importance. We try to find our identity in our busyness. But this just really isn't a message about not being busy. Because I think that as we go through life, God gives us opportunities to do things, and he blesses us through those things, and that can be a good thing. But I think what we really want to get to, and I think what we really need to find, is where's the fruitfulness? And to talk about that, we want to talk about being bored, right? Being bored. And I want to share a little bit about this word. There's a word that springs to my mind when we think about boredom and it's atrophy. I'll take it back a few years. One of the things I really enjoyed in my life, I was able to play college athletics. And when I was doing that, man, every single day I did something to try to better myself with basketball, working out, running, shooting, all that kind of stuff. And when you do that on a consistent basis, those things become strong. Those things you can do, you're good at. And then at some point, my basketball career ended just short of the NBA, like this much short of the NBA. And I didn't have that routine. And so working out every day became working out 3 days a week. And then after a year or two, then that became 1 day a week. And then when I found time once a month, and now it's like I Google workout and say, what is that again? Right? And so what happens to those skills? What happens to those muscles? They start to atrophy. Here's what atrophy means. Here's the definition. A decline in effectiveness or vigor due to lack of use or neglect. And it's not just our bodies that can atrophy. Relationships can atrophy. The gifts, you know, God made us unique. God has given us different gifts and talents to use to bear fruit for Him. And when we get busy doing other things and we don't exercise those spiritual gifts, boy, it's like a lot of other things, they fall by the wayside. They atrophy. They decline in effectiveness or vigor. As I was preparing for the message this morning, you know, you look up and do a scripture search of just verses that apply to being busy. Boy, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them, and a lot of them bring us back to a focus on what God's will is for our lives. You know this, right? You know this, that God loves each and one and every one of us so much that He made the ultimate sacrifice. He sent His Son to live and to die for us and to rise again so we could have life eternal, so we could be in relationship with Him. He desperately wants that. Desperately wants that. He wants us to be in relationship with Him. He loves us so very much. And He wants us to live as His people. And He's demonstrated that over and over and over again. And He gives us guidance in Scripture. Romans 12:2, do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let's talk about atrophy and boredom for a second. I can be busy, and I'll speak for myself. I can be really, really busy, and I can have lots of stuff to do. At least that's what my calendar says. Boom, 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 boom. And all these other people tell me, here's what we got to do. And that's just the work calendar. Now we go home, and we got boom, 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 boom. And at times, I feel like I'm busy, and my heart is bored. And my soul is bored. And I'm not really bearing any fruit, except checking things off a list. So how do I know? How do I get to the point where I'm actually seeking God's will? Well, it tells us in Matthew 6, 33 to 34, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Great, perfect direction. Seek God, seek His kingdom. And I try and I try and I try. I come up against a brick wall. And it's at those moments where I realize just how helpless I am. I recognize and realize just how much I need God, just how much I need Jesus as my Savior. Because not only do I have trouble seeking His will, but I have trouble discerning His will, and I have trouble doing His will in my life. And at that moment, when I'm totally helpless, man, is the cross good news. At that point, when I recognize, gosh, I just can't do this. Man, what a gift. What a gift. I've had opportunity over my time as a leading Christian schools to talk to former Christian school leaders, folks that have led Lutheran schools, folks that have led other Christian schools, had a chance to talk to them and try to gain some wisdom. Try to talk to them about, boy, what was it like, you know, when you were doing this? What advice can you give me? What wisdom can you share? You know what the biggest response I get from folks? Folks that have been doing this 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years. They'll look me straight in the face and they'll say, Michael, don't do it the way I did it. What? But you've done this and you've done this and you've done this and you've done this. And they say, yep. And they start listing the things, the sacrifices. They start listing the things. Well, you know what? I spent a lot of time doing this. I spent a lot of time doing this. And you know what? That discernment wasn't always there. Following God's will, man, it's tough. Caring for the people that God put in my life, my family, wasn't there. Rest, health, all those things weren't there. I'll admit to you as I stand up here that leading a high school with 781 students can be a bit demanding at times. And I can tell you that I know when I am not following spiritual disciplines, where I'm not in prayer regularly, where I'm not seeking God's will in word, and those decisions come up that affect a lot of people, or situations come up and we're looking for a way, we're looking for a wisdom, how do we go? That gets tough. You deserve. And I fall short. And I fall short, and I recognize again, man, if I look back, I've done this, 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 and this. What's missing out of all that busyness is a focus on God's will. And it brings me right back to that brick wall. I'm helpless in that. I need God to point out his will for me and to direct me in that path consistently. 1 John 2:17, and the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. You know, here's another thing that that kind of hits me on a regular basis. And it also ties in with Matthew 6:33, you know, seek first the kingdom of God. There's a lot of discussion about there. Maybe you've come across it. Boy, if you just find that work-life balance, you're going to be all right. Find that work-life balance. You just need to find that balance. Man, I've been looking for that balance for years, and I haven't found it. And here's what I think. I think that we look to find that work-life balance, but it's got to be all in for God first, right? We've got to commit our way to God first. He's got to help us do that, because the only way that we're going to find that balance is through his wisdom, his direction, and his guidance, and his love for us. So the next time I hear that, I got to remember, you know, seeking out that work-life balance, boy, it's going to be a dead end like the rest of the stuff that I try to do on my own. But just surrendering to God and saying, Lord, lead me, guide me, direct me. Help me bear fruit for you. So how do we do that? How do we discern God's will? How do we become fruitful? If we're honest with ourselves and we look at our lives and we say, you know what, I'm getting this done, and this done, but you know, I'm kind of equating my busyness with importance. My heart is bored. Where do we go? Well, you know, God doesn't leave us hanging, right? His promises are true every day, and he gives us his word. He gives us scripture. And here's what I'll suggest to you. Here's what I'll suggest from Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Boy, you know what? Labor and heavy laden might well describe a good amount of our society today. Heavy laden. So much to do, so much to get done. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Seek God. Carve out time to rest. There's a practice that I've been really, really working at trying to implement, right? Certainly need God's help in that. It's this idea of a sabbatical day. A day to just stop and intentionally go through Scripture, go through His Word, rest, get close to God, go through His Scripture, pray, let Him wash over me, and try to figure out with His guidance what His will is, His good and perfect will. Now, here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. When I do that, and I tell people about it, you know what their response is? Oh, good for you. Boy, I'm glad you're getting to rest. No. You know what the response is? Many times it's, well, geez, that must be nice. Must be nice to be able to take a day and not do anything. And I think sometimes we're afraid to do that because we're afraid of how people might react to us taking a day and resting. Because somehow rest in our society has come alongside being a slacker or not being productive. And yet, God's command for us, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Johnny Diaz wrote a song called Breathe. And one of my favorite things as we pour through this, and I just constantly remember when Pastor Graf stands up here and he does breathe, but he says Yahweh through it, right? And Johnny Diaz writes this song, Breathe. Come and rest at my feet and be, just be. Chaos calls, but all you really need is to take it in, fill your lungs, the peace of God that overcomes, just breathe. So let your weary spirit rest. Lay down what's good and find what's best. Just breathe. Just breathe. Come and rest at my feet and be. Just be. Chaos calls, but all you really need is to just breathe. My prayer for us is that our hearts are transformed by the renewal of our minds, and we take time in the busyness of life to turn that boredom into bearing fruit because of what God does for us. And when we get to the point of helplessness, that we focus on the cross, that we know that our identity is found in Christ alone, that He promises to be with us, that He lived and died so we could have life eternal with Him, may God grant it for